Anthony Football Podcast. My name's Chris, and I am joined, I would say as always, but it's been a while, hasn't it? I'm joined by Harry. It's been pretty hectic. I mean, my computer's been fucked for a while. Harry's ill, so I mean, we really put off this podcast episodes. But we're back now. I mean, how does it feel to be sat in front of a microphone for the first time in ages, Harry?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not like we haven't been away from podcasts together, is it?
No, we haven't. I've got something to plug. I mean, we might as well do it now. We've both appeared on both the Bad Lads podcast and the Why We Watch podcast, both produced by the excellent at Dej Kirby on Twitter. You should go follow him. If you're a fan of like wrestling, then go listen to that. And just listen to his chat shit, basically. It's not like this, but not about football.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know about your episode, Harry, but my episode of Why We Watch sort of delved into football quite a lot. And this
podcast. Yeah, so did mine, yeah.
Yeah.
Chelsea being shit.
Well, I mean, we'll get into that in a little bit. But I mean, with us being away for a while, we've got pissing 3 game weeks of Premier League action, 3 manager sackings, and a Europe game week to go through. I mean, pissing hell, this podcast is going to end up being like 12 hours long if we did it normally. So what I thought we'd do, Harry, is for every match in the game week, I thought just to add a little bit of spice to it. We'd give each other 30 seconds to talk about it. So, say, for example, the first game that we're going to talk about is going to be the Newcastle-Man City game. And I just thought, just give us 30 seconds, talk about it, get his points across, and then, we're not going to spend too much time on it, too much time pissing about.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound
good?
Good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to get started or shall I? We'll start with the Newcastle-Man City game. Do you want to go first or shall I go first?
I'll take it. Okay. Are we doing like a timer or is it just roughly 30 seconds?
I've got a timer up, but I mean, if you're in the middle of a sentence, you don't exactly have to fucking stop. I mean, that'd be a bit of a shit podcast.
I'll start, so I'll finish. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, take you through. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so basically this was a very disappointing Man City performance. It was dominant from them, but they just were unable to finish their chances. Sterling opens up the scoring, and then Jetro Willems with a brilliant equaliser. Kevin De Bruyne with a superb finish ends up getting overtaken with a spectacular Jonjo Shelvey finish in the final seconds, or like final minutes. And overall, very disappointing performance by City.
Wow, that was good. Good start to that. I mean, like I said, I just really agree with everything you said there. It was pretty disappointing from Man City. Right, I mean, you've set the boundary there. I'll go talk about the Burnley game. Why not? Right, so 3, 2, 1. Right, so basically, I mean, looking back on the game weeks, this was probably the least disappointing of the 3 games, but it was still disappointing performance at the time. At the end of the day, like, 2 teams were probably about even on the day, but Palace just took the chances and we couldn't. Wilfred Zaha absolutely tore Phil Bardsley a new one. And the injury to Tyler Taylor obviously didn't help because we had Phil Bardsley and Eric Peters, 2 Stoke rejects at fullback. And at the end of the day, Palace took their chances and we just couldn't convert. Just in time there. Yeah, I mean, fucking hell, it was disappointing being there. But anyway, do you want to go through next game? What have you got in mind?
I will do Spurs Bournemouth.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
This was Mourinho's first Premier League home game. They went 3-0 up very comfortably. Dele Alli and Moussa Sissoko. Harry Wilson tried to bring Bournemouth back in with a brace of his own, but Bournemouth were ultimately unable to do it. Despite the fact that they were more dominant in the chances sort of territory for Bournemouth, they were unable to get a good result out of it.
3 seconds, 1 0 to add.
Penis.
Right. Well, that was a good ending point there. Good exclamation point on the end.
Like Spurs.
I mean, why would you? Right, I'll talk about the Liverpool game, Liverpool and Brighton. Fucking hell, I'm really tired. Right, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, at the end of the day, Liverpool, again, this is the sort of game that they should be winning. But I mean, they weren't exactly made easy for them by Brighton. I mean, they had the lion's share of possession, Brighton, which really surprised me. But I mean, Liverpool at the end of the day, they took the chances. Van Dijk with two really good goals. And Alisson getting sent off as well. That really surprised me at the time. But I mean, it was a red card. And yeah, just a another win from Liverpool, who aren't looking all that convincing this season, let's be honest here. Really fucking scraping these through, aren't they? Right, so I mean, I think there's only one game left.
There's
Yeah.
Chelsea, West Ham, Southampton, Watford.
All right.
Okay.
Got preference?
Don't really want to talk about Chelsea games, so let's go into the Saints, Watford.
Got Saints Watford. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
Very deserved win for Southampton, overturning a 1-0 deficit from Ismaila Sarr. Danny Ings always comes up big in these sort of games, and this season leapfrog over Watford, and it seems like Southampton are en route to survival. Love
And now just 7
JWP.
seconds of silence.
Yeah, love JWP. There you go.
Yep. And there we go. That's the 30 seconds. Some of these games you really have trouble trying to fill in the 30 seconds, and then some of the other games we're gonna have trouble trying to contain it in 30 seconds. I mean, yeah, like you said, one game left. The Chelsea West Ham game. I mean, people just have to look on your Twitter for the thoughts, don't they? I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, I'm gonna have to. But I mean, I'm sure I'll share some of the same thoughts as you have. Right, so 3, 2, 1. So yeah, this has really brought Manuel Pellegrini about a month, like in terms of his career. Chelsea with the lion's share of possession, but just ended up not being able to convert the chances. I mean, I felt like it was a really strong lineup from Chelsea, but I feel like the absence of Tammy Abraham was really felt. Giroud up front just wasn't able to convert. And I mean, at the end of the day, like West Ham, although they didn't dominate the game, like they took the chances, and at the end of the day, that's what you've got to do. Fucking hell, I could have talked about that for a while, but I mean, I'll cut myself off there. And I mean, I'm sure you could talk about that game for a while as well.
Yeah, I could make a whole podcast
Yeah.
about it.
Right, so we're going into Sunday games now, I think. Yeah,
Yeah.
we are. So, have you got a preference?
I'll go with Wolves, Sheffield United.
All right, okay. Two teams in exceeding expectations, right? 3, 2, 1, go.
As Chris said, it was two overachieving sides. Probably a fair result, given that chances were basically few and far between both teams. Weren't very clinical. At least Moussa opens up the scoring in under 2 minutes, and then a fellow defender of the opposite number, Matt Doherty, gets the equaliser 2/3 of the way through. 1-1 it finished.
Yeah, I mean, It was probably a fair result at the end of the day. And yeah, I'm really enjoying watching Wolves this season, especially in Europe, but in the Prem as well.
Jesus Christ, I said his opposite number, Doherty. I was looking at Boulder because he set up, least me say. Jesus Christ.
Well, it's all this pressure, you know. You got all these people going to be listening to you and like chatting absolute shit for 30 seconds. Like,
That was complete shit. That
yeah.
was a lie.
Right. Go on, I've got an Arsenal game. Was this Unai's last game? I can't remember. Oh no, that was the Frankfurt game, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. So
Yeah.
this was Lundberg's first game.
No.
Yeah, Freddie Ljungberg.
No, this wasn't his first game. Unai was still in charge here, I think.
Oh, I thought he got the sack after the Frankfurt game.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, this is after the Frankfurt game.
Am I being thick? Like, I swear it was. It's not.
Yeah, you are being sick.
Yeah, all right.
We
Sorry.
should have really started with the Europe game week, but
Was that before this then?
Yes.
Ah, right. Yeah, we probably should have done then, thinking about it. Right. Oh, fucking hell. All right. I'll give me. I mean, we've already gone over 30 seconds, but I mean, I'll give myself here. Right. 3, 2, 1. Right. So yeah. Arsenal with the lion's share of possession, but I mean, at the end of the day, if it wasn't for Aubameyang, they'd be bottom of the league. Like genuinely. Like, he's carrying them so hard right now. And I mean, at the end of the day, right? Arsenal. They've got all those players, and it's obvious that Unai wasn't the problem, because the players just aren't performing. And I mean, like Pukki and Cantwell, Pukki getting, I think it was his first goal in ages for Norwich. So I mean, gonna say, oh fucking hell, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, I was gonna go into points
Yeah, he
about
hadn't
Pukki.
scored since September. Oh,
Yeah,
August even, Jesus.
I know. To say he'd started off like. Like a house on fire, like putting himself in most people's fantasy teams, I'd assume. Yeah, I mean, he really sort of tailed off, but I mean, this could be a chance to kickstart his or re-kickstart his season. And Cantwell, I'm really impressed with Cantwell as well. Yeah. So I mean, we've got what, two games left now? Which one do you want to pick?
I'll go less Everton.
Leicester, Everton.
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Although Leicester dominate possession, it was actually kind of a more 50-50 game. Richarlison opened up the scoring with a header to beat Schmeichel with a Sidibe cross. Then Vardy went Vardy mode and had an assist by Kelechi Iheanacho to level the game. Then later on, Iheanacho scores his first goal of the season last minute with a bit of VAR's help. And they won the game.
Yeah, I mean, fucking hell, like, are they Liverpool's, well, they are Liverpool's closest challengers to the league, but I mean, do you reckon they can keep this up, Leicester, like, to the end of the season?
Hope so. They're the best chance that anyone's got.
Yeah. Right, well, I mean, it's one team game left, isn't it? Manu. And Villa, right, yeah. Well, let's go through this then. 3, 2, 1. Right, so yeah, basically, Manu just they just couldn't take the chances when they had them. Like Villa, like credit to them because they were clinical. They had three shots on target and they got two goals. Like that's absolutely clinical. And to get someone at Old Trafford, it's always a hard result. But I mean. It's just another disappointing draw for Man United. And I feel like, again, like they're just drawing too many games. Like they're throwing away easy like chances to go and kick on. And they're just throwing that away. I mean, I went past 30 seconds there, but fucking hell.
Are we gonna do Champs League now?
Might as well. We'll go back in time to Champions League. Fucking hell. If I'd have not, then I'd have just done the Champions League first. Like, I really should have made some fucking preparation like for this podcast. I mean, if you can't tell, ladies and gentlemen, there's not much effort going into these episodes. At least not on my end, anyway.
Neither here.
No, I don't know if it comes across or not. I don't know if you can tell. But none of us give a fuck about you. Like, we really don't care. Just stop listening now.
Are we just doing the English side?
Well, I mean,
There were a few
are there
big
any other
things.
games you want to be talking about, really? I mean, or else what sticks out to you?
I watched Barca Dortmund, but
All right, you can take us through that then. I mean, I haven't watched any other games, to be honest with you. But I mean, they're looking pretty standard, to be honest with you, results wise. So yeah, I mean, go on. Are you going to take us through the Barca Dortmund game, or are you wanting to take us through England?
yeah, I'll do that, yeah.
All right. So 3, 2, 1.
Very clinical performance by Barca. That first half pretty much summed up the whole game. It was the Lionel Messi and Suarez show. Ousmane Dembele had to come off injured and Griezmann came in. Dortmund came out a little bit better in the second half, but Griezmann latches onto an assist by Messi and he makes it 3-0. And Sancho tries to give them hope, Dortmund hope, with a goal, but it turns out to be consolation. 3-1 final result.
Yes, good analysis. I mean, I don't have a lot to add on it because I didn't watch the fucking game. But I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I'll take your word for it. So yeah, I mean, go on. I'll take us through the City Shakhtar game. Yeah, another pretty disappointing draw. Right. 3, 2, 1. Right. So I mean, basically, another like disappointing draw for City. I mean, it's sort of foreshadowed the draw that they'd be getting at Newcastle. But I mean, yeah, they were never not going to get out of this group, and this was a game what sealed the deal for them. But I mean, yeah, like they took the lead first as well with Gundogan with a good goal, and then like you'd thought, even if they were put under pressure, which they weren't by the way, you'd thought maybe they'd just sit back and protect the lead, but they couldn't. And I mean, Shakhtar, who did nothing really all game, managed to equalise. And another disappointing draw under Pep.
Do you think he'll leave soon?
I tell you what, if he's not there next season, I wouldn't be surprised. I do think he's sort this Man City team. It looks like a team at the end of a cycle, and I won't be surprised if Pep isn't there next season. Like not through him being sacked, but like. Because his contract runs out soon, doesn't he? Like,
Oh, okay, he probably won't resign then, okay.
It's either end of this season or end of next season when it runs out. But I mean, yeah, it looks like a team at the end of this its cycle. Does this Man City team?
I'm gonna do the Liverpool Napoli game.
Right. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so the game is at Anfield and Liverpool were brilliant. Dries Mertens scores against the balance of play and Napoli go into half time 1-0 up. Then a few changes are made. Dejan Lovren latches onto a cross from Milner, heads home. Liverpool have chance after chance to try and win it, but the defence of Napoli is just too much, and ultimately ends in 1-1. Final day decides who wins the group.
Yeah, I mean, this Liverpool side, they're not looking like a title winner. Like,
No.
they're 10 points clear. Like, they're not playing like they are. Don't get me wrong, they're still a good side, but they're not playing. They're playing well, but the performances don't really reflect that, if you sort of get what I'm saying. Like, Napoli had one shot on target this whole game, and it went in. Like,
Brilliant goal from Dries Mertens.
oh yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not, but I mean, to say that the limited opposition to one shot on target and 28% possession, and they didn't win that match. Like, I think that says a lot about Liverpool this season, even though they've still been miles better than anyone else in the league this season. Go on, I'll go to the Spurs game then. This was Jose's first Champions League game in years, I think. So yeah, 3-2-1. So yeah, it was a really good performance from Spurs, despite going 2-0 down really early on, which is really confusing. I mean, it was a very competitive game. Olympiacos are a really tough side, even at home. And I mean, yeah, like Spurs, they managed to qualify with a win here. And yeah, like Dele Alli, I just want to point out individually as well, he's looking like a completely different player under Mourinho. I know that's been said a thousand times, but he's just looking like he dictates the play so well. And as well as scoring, he sets up Kane to get two goals as well.
So we're going into the Europa League.
Oh, there's a Chelsea game in there. I believe in that for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure the listeners want to hear your thoughts on the club you support. Right, so I mean, 30 seconds. I don't know if you'll be able to contain it to 30 seconds, but I mean, we'll give it a go.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so despite there being a lot of shots, it was pretty abysmal game. Soler gets the first goal from a Rodrigo assist, but the Valencia were banging at the door. Then like 1 minute later, Kovacic with a brilliant finish. First goal on like over 170 games, I think it is. Then Abraham has to go off due to injury. A few minutes later, Pulisic puts Chelsea ahead. Silly foul from the back from Chelsea. Parejo misses a penalty. Brilliant save from Kepa. Then Hero turns the villain as Danny Vass puts in a cross, which ends up going in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, well, time to get that within relatively within 30 minutes. I will say about this Valencia team, fucking bunch of fannies, aren't they? Jesus Christ, like hitting the deck all the time.
Oh my God, Parejo. Barely got
Yeah.
touched and he went down like he was shot.
I mean, I really rate Parejo as well. Like, he's a really good player on his day, but like, it was just like, he just went down so easy. Like for the pen, like for the penalty with Gaia as well, he went down pretty easy. And I just think that summed up the whole game really for Valencia. Right, well, I mean, onto Europa League game then, and I mean, are there any matches what stand out to you besides the English clubs? I mean, and the Scottish clubs, I guess we can talk about them as well if you want. But apart from that, pretty standard, I'd say.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of them. From the 5 o'clock games, I watched Braga Wolves. So, do you want me to run down that?
You can do, yeah. Really good game this as well. Like Jesus. Like, okay, so 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Andre Horta opens up scoring in under 7 minutes. Then Wolves retaliate with 3 goals. Raul Jimenez involved in all three, just absolutely brilliant. Then the second half, completely different team came out from Braga. Galeno sets up Paulinho, makes it 3-2. Then the captain of Braga, Fran Sergio, gets a equalizer, and it looks like Braga probably should have won despite going 3-1 down. And I know the stats probably say different.
Yeah, I mean, it felt during the game that it was a pretty even sort of affair, and a draw probably was the fair result. And I mean, I'm sure Wolves fans would have snapped your hand off for that as well, considering it led to unqualifying. But I mean, during the course of the game, especially those last like 5, 10 minutes as well, it really felt like Braga sort of deserved to win that game. I mean, yeah, it's just like it was a funny one. Because I mean, I'd say it was a good result for Wolves, especially against a good Braga side as well. But yeah, it was a funny one. It was a pissing good game as well. Right, well, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm glad that you didn't choose to go for the Man United game to talk about, because I was really looking forward to discussing this. Yeah, ex-Burnley player in Lee Grant in net as well. Right, so yeah, I'll get into this. 3-2-1. I can't stop laughing for 30 seconds. But Jesus Christ, man, what a shit show this was. Like, first off, what the fuck was that team? Like, Jesus Christ, Ollie, did you want to keep your job? Like, fucking hell, lucky that he got a result against fucking Spurs and Man City. Like, because this was just terrible. Like, and I mean, they didn't even play well either. Like, Chong missed from open nets. I don't give a fuck about the timer. Chong missed, like, loads of open nets. Like, and Astana deserved the win at the end of the day. Like, they played brilliantly. And I mean, it was just embarrassing. I would be embarrassed to be a Man United fan.
To another laugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking funny, isn't it? Jesus, like, oh, it'd be embarrassing. If you didn't laugh, you'd cry as a Man U fan. Jesus Christ, like, absolutely pathetic.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I think I watched. Yeah, I did watch Feyenoord Rangers, so I do that.
Yeah. All right. 3-2-1.
Okay, so Toornstra gets a goal for Feyenoord. Then Alfredo Morelos goes into the second half with a quick brace. Sinisterra, who's only 20 years old, doing really brilliantly this season, goes and gets an equaliser. And given the fans of play, probably a fair result. And Rangers, of course, probably could go out tonight, depending on results.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Rangers. I mean, I do like Rangers go through. Like, out of the two Scottish clubs, Celtic and Rangers, I do like Rangers, to be fair. But I mean, yeah, I mean, three teams on 7 and 8 points. I mean, they play young boys, so I mean, I think we
even
win.
We can go through young boys.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I'm just going to gloss over that. I think if they beat young boys, then that qualifies them, I think.
Is they'll go. They're top of the group as it stands, so they just need to win.
Yeah, yeah. So the fate's in their own hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, oh, there's the Arsenal Frankfurt game what we haven't discussed. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, so I'm going to do the Celtic game.
This was Unai's last game.
So I'm going to do the Celtic game.
Yeah, alright. I mean, I haven't watched it, so I won't be able to tell anybody anything about it.
Okay.
Right, well, give myself 30 seconds then. 3-2-1. Real game of two halves this was. Like, I mean, first half, Arsenal were absolutely terrible. And I mean, it really didn't reflect the fact that Arsenal went in 1-0 up. It really didn't reflect the balance of the game. I mean, they were just lucky that Frankfurt were also pretty terrible in that first half. But, I mean, after the break, like, they just couldn't, like, keep up with Frankfurt. And, I mean, it showed that they scored twice in 10 minutes, and that just sums up the game, really. They were toothless, Arsenal.
Yes.
Right, well, I mean, if you've watched the Celtic Ren game, then I mean, take us through that.
Okay, Celtic, despite dominating possession, did concede a lot of chances, but you know, nothing coming from Rennes. Lewis Morgan goes and gets Celtic a lead after 20 minutes. Then Ryan Christie doubles that lead just before half time. Michael Johnston then goes and makes it 3-1, and then Hunu just before half time gets set up by his left back, Just for a consolation goal.
You're really making these in good time, aren't you, Harry? I mean, I'm struggling to restrain myself into 30 seconds, but I mean, you're more composed than me. I think that shows. But yeah, I mean, this is a good Celtic side, this. I mean, how far do you reckon they could go in the Europa League? Because I mean, it all depends, obviously, who gets knocked out of the Champions League and what draw they get. But I mean, I reckon this Celtic team could do relatively well in Europa League.
They beat Lazio, so it does show that they can come against these bigger teams and still come off brilliantly. I mean, Lazio does have a pretty crappy record against British clubs anyway, so that probably helped.
Yeah, but Celtic has a pretty crap record against Italian clubs, if I remember
Yeah, I
right.
guess,
So.
yeah. Yeah, bit of a double-edged sword, but they've qualified. They're going to be top of the group, so that means they're going to get a team that's lesser quality.
Aye. Well, we move back to the Premier League then, game week 15. And I mean, it's my goal, so I mean, I best talk about this Man City game. I mean, despite the fact that we lost 4-1, it still wasn't the most depressing game that we're going to talk about this week. All right, okay. Right. So basically, I mean, we just gave City too much respect. We have no steel in this side, like, and we just sat back off of them. I mean, don't get me wrong, like those Rodri goals and that first Gabriel Jesus goal, and even the second Gabriel Jesus goal, you don't mind conceding to them because they're a bit of quality and that shows. But I mean, we just made it too easy for them. As fullbacks, we're backing off and backing off and backing off, and that was just defence, really. And that's been a trend this season, what I don't really like. We need to get stuck in there against these bigger teams because at the end of the day, we made it too easy for them.
Yes.
Great contribution there, Harry. Right, do you want to do other Tuesday game then? Palace and Bournemouth, right? 3-2-1, go.
Okay, so reckless challenge from Sacco sees him have to leave the pitch. Then a few injuries. Patrick Vanderholt has to come off for Schlupp. Bournemouth dominating possession, having a lot of chances, but it's the substitute Schlupp who gets probably a deserved goal for Palace, and they go on and win 1-0 with 10 men. Bournemouth in a really bad position right now. Unlucky. Jesus, how long have I got
Oh,
left?
fucking hell. Like, I'll just fucking stop it here. That'll be about 30 seconds. Like, yeah, I mean, Jesus, like, Bournemouth, like, they had so much possession, they just couldn't do anything with it. Like, I just feel like Bournemouth are a funny side. Because you look at them, and going forward, they're really good. And at the back, they're not bad. But I mean, against the teams that they should be beating, they don't really turn up. But then they turn up and beat Man United, or they almost get a result against Spurs, and like, funny side, right? I mean, don't really know where to go here. We've got Man U Spurs, why not? So yeah, this was Mourinho's first loss. I mean, it really felt like I don't know. Even though they lost, they still looked a better side, Spurs, here than they have done since Jose's come in. Like, they've looked a better side here than they did all of this season under Poch. Like, they just felt like a better unit, a better team. I mean, obviously, Spurs pissing bounce back next game. But Man U, that they look pretty decent as well. This fuck. Right. Well, I have more to say, but I mean, we've got to respect the rules and the format of this show. The well-established rules. But yeah, I mean, Man U looked decent, didn't they?
Yeah. I'm gonna pick Leicester Watford.
Leicester Watford, okay. Right, shot me a bit there. Right, okay, 3-2-1, go.
Drab first half. Just a few bookings. Nothing to really report on. Jamie Vardy gets a penalty, converts it. Always a trusted hand in there. Leicester have to hold on for a 1-0 lead for quite some time, but Watford aren't causing any worries for them. And then James Maddison seals all 3 points after James Justin sets them up. Leicester looking absolutely brilliant at the moment. Second in the league, overachieving at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, though, if you look at that Leicester side, would you really say that they're overachieving? I mean, don't get me wrong, they probably shouldn't be second in the league. But, I mean, if you look at the sides around them, is it a case of Leicester overachieving, or is it just the fact that the teams around them are underachieving? Because,
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, two losses and two draws, and the rest wins, that is probably a little bit overachieving. But I mean, they haven't really come up against any big teams apart from, you know, Liverpool. And yeah, like, you look at that team and it's a really pissing good team, isn't it? Right. Yeah, I mean, right, I've got a Saints and Norwich then. 3-2-1 go. Yeah, Saints. I mean, these were two games that they had to win against Norwich, against Watford, like to sort of start the climb out of the relegation zone. Which I mean, they're still in there now at the moment, but I mean, level on points with Aston Villa, who are just above them in the relegation zone. This was a really vital win. Danny Ings again picking up a really good goal. That's what, like 8 or 9 for the season now for Danny Ings. He really steps up in big matches. He scores when it matters. And yeah, like it was a must-win situation for Southampton, and they did just that.
Oh God, right. I'm going to retest myself with the Liverpool Everton game.
Oh yeah, I was sort of putting that off because I don't know if I could cover that in 30 seconds, but I mean. Yeah, go on, you give it a go then, Harry.
Okay,
3-2-1.
a lot of doubt was for the Liverpool side, a lot of rotations, but they take a quick 2-0 lead. Divock Origi and Shaqiri. Then Keane gets a corner. Everton get a corner. Keane brings it back, makes a 2-1. Origi then 10 minutes later makes a 3-1. Then Mane just before half time, making it 4-2, 4-1, sorry. And then Richarlison just before half time, but makes it a bit more respectable with 4-2. Boring second half. Then Wijnaldum seals all 3 points with a late finish.
PCL, you must talk really quickly then. Yeah, I mean, this ended up being Silva's last game in charge, and yeah, I feel like, to be honest with you, this was Liverpool's best performance by far this season. Like,
It's not
even
even their
though,
best squad.
yeah, exactly, they were playing a really rotated team, and I just feel like they played better here than they have done basically all of this season. Like, it's a strange one. I mean, obviously. I feel like with it being a Merseyside derby, obviously all the players are going to be stepping up the game, but that's the same with Everton as well. So, I mean, yes, yeah, strange one. Right, I mean, I'll go to Wolves West Ham then. Right, so yeah, basically, it's relatively even, but I reckon Wolves probably deserve to win it. Then Nkunku Cutrone getting the goals. Cutrone, it's been a little bit of a flop to say that Wolves paid what, like 15 million for him. Like, I mean, he's not exactly set the world alight, but I mean, he's not really been a regular starter. He's more been a Europa League squad player. But yeah, I mean, West Ham just looking pretty dire yet again. And I mean, Pellegrini hasn't been sacked at the time of the recording, but I mean, surely it's only a matter of time.
So this is the Chelsea one.
Yeah, we've got a Chelsea game.
Okay.
Right. 3-2-1, go.
Okay, so Chelsea coming off a 1-0 loss against West Ham. Villa just coming off a 2-2 draw with Man United. Tammy Abraham takes lead for Chelsea. Then quickly, Trezeguet makes the most of their very limited chances by making it 1-1. They go into half-time 1-1, and then Mason Mount, just after half-time, makes Chelsea go 2-1 up. They hold on. Rather disappointing performance because we had a lot of shots, but lacked a lot of goals. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you did what was needed to get the win. But you didn't exactly look a convincing side out there. I mean, this was Abraham's first match back and he ended up picking up a goal. But yeah, I mean, you didn't exactly set the world alight with your performance here. Against the Villa side, who I'm not going to say are struggling, but I mean, they're hovering just above the relegation zone, so they're not exactly the best team in the league. Like, they should be a game what a team like Chelsea, who are pushing for Champions League, should be looking at and winning, which you did, but perhaps you should be looking a little bit more convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, we've got two Thursday games. I'll talk about Arsenal-Brighton then. Right. Yeah, so basically, Arsenal just... pretty awful performance yet again. And we're just repeating the same and same things over and over again. But it's because what else is there to say about this Arsenal side? I mean, Brighton playing the 4-4-2 with no wingers, like, really, like, good system for them. I feel like it really sort of suits them, especially with Mopey and Connolly up front, two forwards who like to get in behind. And they just outperformed, like, Arsenal by a mile here. I feel like the team selection was wrong for Arsenal and the mentality was wrong. And that ended up being showed live on Amazon Prime.
We sponsored a sign.
No, but I mean, if any sponsors are wanting to pick us up, I mean, just hit me up. DMs are open. Don't know why you wouldn't want the Anti-Football Podcast to be sponsored. Sure, you want to put your brand associated with this podcast. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's relatively clean.
Yeah, relatively. Like, what more do you want? I mean, we're showing the adaptability of this podcast. Yeah, you can tell I've been practicing CVs. right, so one game left this weekend. This game week. Sheffield United Newcastle game. I feel like you could talk for at least 30 minutes about the VAR controversy, but I mean, give it a go in 30 seconds, Harry. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Alan Saint-Maximin opens up the scoring. 1-0. Probably undeserved given the how the game's gone. Sheffield United were dominating. Jonjo Shelvey then gets a goal. A lot of VAR sort of controversy around it, but eventually given. Andy Carroll started. He got the assist, and Newcastle come away 2-0 winners, but undeserved.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a controversy, though. I mean, the Sheffield United fans, a lot of Premier League fans I've seen online were absolutely livid about that VAR decision, saying, oh, it's ruining the game. But at the end of the day, as kids, as football, and as footballers now, the thing what's drummed into you from day one of playing football is play to the whistle. And that's something that Sheffield didn't do, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we're both going to cry about this game week.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. I'm not looking forward to this. Right, I mean, are we going to do each other's to spare us the pain?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got loads to say on the Spurs-Burnley game. Nothing that brands would want to put the name on, though. And I'm sure you feel the same way about the Everton-Chelsea game. So, I mean...
Thoughts.
I think I felt we've both made his thoughts clear. on those games. So I mean, it'd be interesting to hear other people's takes on it. So the Everton Chelsea game, right? So yeah, I mean, from my point of view, it wasn't that bad a performance from Chelsea. It was just that you weren't as clinical as you should have been. I mean, Everton, they look like a completely new side with that 4-4-2 as well. I mean, they ended up putting in like something like 40 tackles this game. Wow, that's absolutely mental. Look like a completely different side under Duncan Ferguson. And yeah, they sort of have that steel that was sort of lacking from the Everton side for a while. And yeah, oh, fuck. And yeah, I mean, for Chelsea, it wasn't necessarily that bad of a performance. You just weren't clinical enough to be able to pull out a result.
But the aggression of Duncan Ferguson's really rubbed off very quickly on your team.
I mean, it's easy to sort of dismiss it as the new manager bounce, but yeah, it was a weird one because it's sort of like it really reflected Duncan Ferguson as a player. Because I mean, if you're unaware of who he is listening to this, he was a player who sort of always put in aggressive tackles, like big typical centre forward. And yeah, that sort of rubbed off on his Everton side. So where do you want to go here, Harry?
I'll do Spurs Burnley.
Right, yeah, save me the pain. Right, okay. 3-2-1, go.
So this was a 5-0 result. I feel like that was very flattering because the possession was more in favour of Burnley, but Spurs were just very clinical, and Heung-min Son on his goal, he just absolutely ran through the entire team of Burnley and slots away. No player wanted to put in a single tackle, and they just sort of allowed him to get in. Harry Kane with a brace, Lucas gets a goal, and misses Sissoko.
I feel he's probably been a little bit too complimentary on his team there, Harry.
We've had seven. They had seven shots, scored five. That's very flattering.
Yeah, but I mean, I watched the game personally. Like, there were some of those shots on target, like where they were through 1-on-1, like, and they missed, like, they put it wide or something. It could have easily been 6 or 7, like, if they were a bit more clinical, Spurs. I mean, like you said, that Son goal, Jesus Christ. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's pissing quick, his Son, and it was good, and it was so good that he ran 60 yards and still had the stamina to get up and finish. But how come no one's putting in a tackle in? Like, if we still had Joey Barton in midfield, he would have stopped that goal. Like, we're just missing that bit of steel because we used to be hard to play against for the big teams, and now we're not. It's just depressing. Like, we need a win against Newcastle this Saturday. Right, well, I mean, I'll go to the Liverpool Bournemouth game then. Yeah, so basically, like, another. It felt like a really good performance from Liverpool, this. Or, to put it better, it was better than Bournemouth. Bournemouth just looked terrible this game. Like, no shots on target. I mean, don't get me wrong, you're playing Liverpool, one of the best teams in the world. I mean, to have no shots on target in 90 minutes, like, that's pathetic, really. Like, I mean, you look at that side, you look at some of the teams who are like, some of the players are in that team. Like, they should be nowhere near having no shots on target against Liverpool. And Liverpool just tore them apart at the end of the day. Pathetic from Bournemouth, in my opinion.
I'm going to do Watford Palace.
I mean, if you manage to talk for 30 seconds about this game, I'll be really impressed. 3-2-1, go.
So possession was equally shared. Watford, despite being probably one of the worst teams in the Premier League, were actually the side that should have won. They had three shots on target, but Guaita saved them all. He's proven very hard to beat this season. Just despite that shared possession, Palace just didn't do anything with it, and Zaha's really, really dropped off. But Watford should have won ultimately.
Yeah, it's really disappointing as a Burnley fan to see Watford are managing to hold Crystal Palace for a draw, but we couldn't. And Watford are managing to keep Zaha out of the game, and we couldn't. Like, that's pretty disappointing, considering they're the worst team in the league, I'd argue. But yeah, you've really done me a favour here, Harry, because I get to talk about the Manchester derby. Yeah, so I tell you what, before this game, I really had an inkling on Man United, because Man United were going into this game off the back of a win against Spurs, and Man City, which haven't been performing this season. And I mean, it sort of got proved right. I mean, Martial managed to score, and Rashford tucks away a penalty, which, I mean, probably was a penalty. I think it was the correct decision looking back at it. I mean, Otamendi manages to get one back. But I mean, at the end of the day, it was a deserved win from Man United, because they were clinical. Man City, they had all the possession, they had all the chances, but they weren't clinical enough, which pretty much sums up this season for Man City. Because even when they were winning 8-0, we were saying they weren't clinical enough. So when they're losing the Manchester derby because they're not clinical enough, that's a problem.
I feel like VAR sort of screwed them over in this game as well. I feel like they should have had a penalty.
Maybe. I mean,
and I wouldn't have said, I wouldn't have given the penalty to Rashford.
Would you not have done?
No.
I think that was fair, to be honest. We had the Man U penalty. I feel like, yeah, maybe you could argue for that Man City penalty. But I mean, to be honest,
it was that handball from Fred, and I think that was a penalty. And also when Sterling went down. Because that is an unnatural position. When you're sliding,
it's a tough one, really, because like there's no clear rules, like it's not black and white, so like no one really sure what is unnatural and what's not, because unnatural to me could be natural to you and vice versa. Like, it football's not a black and white enough for VAR to make decisions like this. Like, go on technology.
It's just slide tackling. Why are you putting your hand down?
Well, to stop yourself from falling.
Like, but he's doing a sliding tackle.
Banging
but he's putting it down and like doing some sort of carpet burn with it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you're a Man U fan and that was given, you'd have felt hard done by. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like on another day, under another official, that could have easily been given. But, I mean, personally, I don't think I would have given it.
So, I'm going to do Leicester-Villa.
Yeah, we're going to Sunday's games now. So, yeah, 3, 2, 1, go.
Jamie Vardy goes and scores for his 8th or 9th consecutive game. He's the current top scorer now. Really run away with it. Iheanacho is finally getting given chances now to play, getting in with the goals. Grealish tries to make it a bit more respectable for half time to give Vera a chance. But Johnny Evans, just after half time, makes it 3-1. And then Vardy grabs a brace by practically walking it in the net. Just complete domination.
Yeah, I feel like Villa, they sort of started this season relatively well. But they're sort of petering out a little bit. I feel like teams are sort of starting to maybe figure out how they're playing. And they're sort of also, I'd say, relying on the creativity of Jack Grealish as well. And I mean, he ended up picking up a goal. But I mean, when the likes of Wesley, who was your big centre-forward striking, he's only scored one, is it, this season, or two? Like, he's not really performed. And yet, against the Leicester side, who are really good, like, at the end of the day, you're going to struggle to beat that Leicester side. I think any team would, to be honest with you.
He scored 4.
Scored 4?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 2 more than I thought he'd scored.
We scored 2 against Norwich, 1 against Arsenal, and 1 against Everton.
Oh, right, well. It's more than I thought he had, to be honest with you. But yeah, that any even if he had scored. Like that Leicester side was unstoppable. Like it's they're so hard to beat. And I mean, it really puts into perspective. Like you think about Ollie, he got the two wins against Spurs and Man City, but everyone seems to forget that he also beat that Leicester side as well. One of only two teams to do that this season. Like he's got that Man U team turning up to big occasions. I must say. Even if they are losing the games they should be winning.
What game do you want to pick?
I'll go to the Southampton Newcastle game.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Right, so I mean, I think a draw probably would have been a fair result, to be honest with you. I mean, Danny Ings getting another goal as well. I mean, he's just on fire. Like, I mean, I really wish we had him back at Burnley. But yeah, like Newcastle again, like managing to score twice, like John Joe Shelby with another goal as well. Like he's on some good form as well as Shelby. Like 3 goals in 3 games. But yeah, I just feel like this Newcastle side under Bruce, like I'd argue they're looking a better side under Bruce, at least going forward anyway. They're looking a better side under Bruce than they were under Rafa. Purely for the fact that they're actually scoring more now. Like defensively, they were probably more solid under Rafa, but going forward, I'd argue they're better under Bruce.
I agree with that. I'm gonna pick Brighton Wolves.
Brighton and Wolves, okay.
Yeah.
Right. 3-2-1, go.
Okay, so this game was pretty much defined in the first half. Diego Jota opening up the scoring with a Raul Jimenez assist. Then Brighton seemed to get a real kick up the arse. Nil Malpe getting an equaliser, and then just a minute later, Davy Prodpa giving a 2-1 lead. 8 minutes later, just before half-time, Diego Jota gets a goal, assist by Johnny, finishes 2-2. Second half is just full of bookings.
Yeah, I mean, this Wolves side, I mean, they do, like, they're a funny side, because, I mean, they look brilliant against, like, some, against certain teams. But then here, like, they didn't look all that. I mean, don't get me wrong, they looked like a good side. But I mean, Brighton probably deserved a little bit more, I'd argue, from this game. I mean, don't get me wrong, Wolves didn't look bad, but they didn't look up to the standard what they have set last season and this season. And I think that's probably a little bit due to fatigue as well. I mean, they've played, what, twice in a row midweek, like coming into this game. I'm sure the players are absolutely knackered, like coming into this game. Right, well, I'll go to Norwich and Sheffield U game then. Right, so yeah, basically, Norwich, like, I feel like they're probably a bit hard done by in this game. Like, Sheffield U, they started off really well this season anyway. But they didn't look all that in this game. Like, I mean, Tetti getting the first goal for Norwich, that was absolutely crucial for them. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they didn't really... It took them a while to come out at Gates second half. The first 10 minutes, they weren't really there, that Norwich team. And Sheffield U really made them suffer. Stevens and Baldock scoring two. And yet, they just looked like... They just switched off for 10 minutes in the second half. And that's a shame for Norwich fans, because they could have potentially got something from this game.
Okay.
Right, so I mean, just one game left now, really. It's the West Ham and Arsenal game from last night, as this is being recorded anyway. And yeah, right, 3-2-1, go.
This was a very infuriating game. West Ham probably should have been 3-0 up in the first half, but Ogbonna's... It was the only one who's able to make good on his chance. They go into the half 1-0 up, probably feeling very hard done by. Then Arsenal pretty much goes sicko mode. Martinelli, Pepe, and Aubameyang all getting on the goals. I think that's Pepe's like second goal of the Premier League season. Very poor for a 72 million signing winger. Martinelli, I think that's his first Premier League goal, and Aubameyang just proven why they're pretty much Aubameyang FC.
Yeah, I mean, that 10 minutes for Arsenal, like from 60th minute to 70th minute, they're absolutely mental. They're playing some brilliant football. But rest of the game, like, they didn't really do all that. I mean, Arsenal, like, three shots on target, three goals. Like, that just says it all, really. I mean, West Ham are really waiting for Fabianski to come back. How long's he out for, Fabianski? When's he come back?
I'm not sure I saw that.
Yeah, because I mean, they're really missing him. I know Martin managed to keep the clean sheet against Chelsea. That was a really emotional moment for him. But yeah, they're just like.
It's been out since late September.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, he seems like he's been out for a while. So surely he'd be back relatively soon, which is good for West Ham because he's pretty needed. But yeah, like, Arsenal, they just didn't really do all. Like, it was typical Arsenal performance, apart from that 10 minutes where they had all the ball, but they did not with it.
Yeah. Just very infuriating.
Yeah, I imagine. Right, well, I mean, that's all the game week's got over and done with. But I mean, we've got three managerial changes to talk about. Since his last recording, Everton sacked Marco Silva and Duncan Ferguson's taken over as interim. Arsenal sacked Unai Emery and Freddie Ljungberg's taken over as interim. And Watford, surprisingly, in my opinion anyway, sacked Kike Sanchez Flores and Nigel Pearson is the replacement until the end of the season, which is a big shock to me anyway. But I mean, yeah. We'll start with Everton. It were coming, really, wasn't it, for Silva? The writing was on the wall.
Yeah, I think that was probably they should have pulled the trigger much earlier with them.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got players, the quality of, Richarlison, Keane, Sigurdsson, like, Iwobi, like, and they're just not performing, like, at the end of the day, it's got to be something up with the manager. As thingy, Duncan Ferguson proved, like, in the game against Chelsea, that the intensity was just lacking from Everton. Like, and yeah, that just proved that the real it was just lacking. And yeah, it was just. There was something missing about Everton, and I feel like under Duncan Ferguson, they've really got it back.
Yeah, they seemed a very different side against us. I mean, it probably did help that we were playing abysmal, but I think they would have won anyway.
Yeah, I just feel like, because I mean, it was something like 40 tackles they put in.
Yeah,
Like,
it's the season that is.
yeah. Like, that just shows that. Like, it just shows like the difference between the two sides. But I mean, yeah, they look completely different, didn't they? They look transformed. Do you think Duncan's the right man to take them forward, or do you think they should look elsewhere?
Yeah, I think Duncan's the man because he knows the club and, his first game he's beaten Chelsea. I hope it doesn't turn into like an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer thing where they make him permanent and then the whole thing just capitulates. But he seems to, I think he's the sort of guy that if the team are playing bad, he'll let them know. And yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine him being that sort of manager. And I mean, he's been given a foray into the transfer market in a couple of weeks, so I mean, be interesting to see if Everton do any business, and if so, what it'll be. We'll move on to Watford. How surprised were you to see Nigel Pearson back in the Premier League? I completely forgot he existed.
Yeah, it was very strange. I thought they were going to go with that Craig Shakespeare because he was the Leicester assistant manager. I thought they were going to pull the trigger on him.
Well, he's Pearson's assistant, isn't he?
Yeah.
Watford.
It's weird they've gone with two former Leicester managers. I suppose they've taken inspiration from how Leicester are doing the season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like, if you look at the season before, Leicester won the league with about 10 games to go, they looked dead and buried. They were like 12 points off safety, but Pearson managed to drag them out of that, and they survived pretty comfortably. And he only got sacked because of some off-field shenanigans. But I mean, he knows a thing or two about getting a club out of the relegation zone.
Probably a forgotten name, but I feel like because of that, he is the right choice. Either that or getting Sam Allardyce.
Well, I mean, people make fun of Sam Allardyce, but I mean, he really knows how to take a team like and keep them up. Like, he kept Sunderland up.
Yeah.
Sunderland, look at where Sunderland are now, and Sam Allardyce managed to keep that team in the Premier League. Like,
Yeah.
I genuinely think he's so underrated as a manager, Sam Allardyce. Like,
My opinion of him did go sour after the whole transfer thing came out about him.
when he was England boss, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, that does sour my opinion on him a little bit, but I mean, that don't really take away what he's done as an actual manager. And I mean, at the end of the day, he's someone who got caught saying it, but I mean, I can't imagine how many managers are saying it behind closed doors, you know what I mean? Like, I can imagine that there's quite a few Premier League managers who know a thing or two about what Allardyce was talking about. But yeah, and the last manager changement was, fucking hell, I really butchered that, didn't I? The last managerial change was Arsenal sacking Unai Emery and bringing in Freddie Ljungberg as interim. Is that the right choice, Harry?
I feel like it's definitely the players. It's definitely the players. They're poor, and it doesn't help that the board is giving these managers like these mid-table budgets when they're supposed to be trying to chase top four. They're pretty much Aubameyang FC, like I said earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, there's just something up with him. Like, I think Wenger Ball has never truly left. They need a manager who can come in and sort of assert the dominance onto that team. They can't get Jose because, like, you know, obviously he's gone to Spurs. So, I mean, I'm not really sure who the right man is for Arsenal because I don't think it's Freddie Ljungberg personally. I
Get
mean,
Vieira from Nice because he's shite.
yeah. I mean, if you look, if you're thinking of some of the teams, like some of the managers, sorry, like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't think Allegri's the right man. I mean, that's the only person who I can think would really transform that side, like who would go realistically. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a funny one.
Thierry Henry.
Well, he's just shit, isn't he? Like, I mean, he sort of proved that.
Just get the bad managers in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Arsenal board, do you give Arteta a chance? I mean,
They need something fresh, don't they?
yeah, I mean, he's been under Pep for about 3 years, so I mean, you'd think he'd have picked up a thing or two, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, that is the learning tree you do want to be under.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, is there else what's happened in football? What I'm forgetting about? Or have I covered everything?
It's just come out that Vitor Pereira is not gonna go to Everton.
Ah, yes. I mean, to be honest with you, they probably should stick with Ferguson, like we were just saying. Like, they probably should stick with Ferguson for at least for a while, anyway. Because I saw Unai Emery was linked with Everton as well. I don't think that'll
Until
be
they
the right appointment at
approach
all.
Pochettino as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
think they're overstretching a bit from that.
Yeah. And I just remembered as well, something to talk about. It's Russia banned from the 2022 World Cup because of doping.
And because of the loophole, because they're banned from global competitions, they are still allowed to compete in the Euros, which is
Yeah. But I mean, because they looked a good side at World Cup.
no
For
wonder.
Russia, they got to what, the quarters, was it? Where they got knocked out on penalties to Spain. Oh no, it must have been the round 16 then.
Yeah. But I don't know whether they dope checked those players. I'm not inferring that they could have been under any influence, but given
No, I wouldn't infer
board.
that. I mean, if you do say that, just check your windows, make sure there's no red lights being pointed at you.
Putin is gonna appeal it. I don't know why he's doing it and not like a governing body in like sports governing body in Russia. But the reason that they've been banned is because they ref the their governing body refused to clean house. So
Yeah, I mean, it is horrible when you think about it, really. I mean, they're giving their athletes like performance enhancing drugs when, I mean, at the end of the day, football is, oh, I don't want to say it's just a game because it's more than a game, but like, it's just a sport at the end of the day. Like, it's not like it's a war. Like,
Just, I think the any clean Russian athletes are going to compete under some, like, I don't know what they call it, but it's like a white flag, and there's like this blue emblem in the middle. I can't
yeah,
remember.
well, that's at the Olympics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're not getting just one player, like, going to be playing in World Cup next year. Not next year, fucking 2022. It's not going to be one versus 11. Like,
No, I mean like in the Olympics they are. Yeah,
yeah.
they'll be banned from football.
Yeah.
Or maybe some will change like allegiances to Ukraine or something.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that actually happened, if they're allowed to do that anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, finally something getting done about doping.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like there's been a pretty blind eye being turned these past few years. So yeah, it's looking like I know there's going to be something done about it.
Remember a player called Roman Eremenko?
Have a what, sorry?
Remember a player called Roman Eremenko? Eremenko.
I do remember the name vaguely. Go on, refresh my memory.
So he played for CSKA Moscow, and whilst he was over in Russia, he got done for cocaine, and he was banned for football for 2 years.
Oh, that was him. Oh, yeah, I do remember that actually.
I don't know whether he's allowed to play still, but just weird. I wonder how like deep that rabbit hole goes.
Yeah, I mean, oh, it's a weird one. It's a weird one. But I mean, yeah. Is there all else in football we want to talk about, or is that it? We've covered everything.
Yeah, we covered everything.
Yeah. So, you got to plug, Harry.
I'll plug my Twitter, at Hazard Chelsea FC.
Yeah, and I'll plug mine at IWGP Chris BFC, and you can follow the podcast at Anti Football Pod. Like we mentioned at the beginning as well, both of us are appearing quite soon on the Badlands podcast and Why We Watch Pod, both hosted by at Dej Kirby on Twitter. And we'll both be appearing on that. Like we said, if you enjoy wrestling, like go out and have a listen to that. And yeah, that's it for this week, and we'll see you next week or next time. Probably won't be next week, but we'll see you whenever we can be asked to record.